For the past several weeks, we've been going through a book called Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Groeschel. And Byron asked me to share this. He's pretty sure he said this last week, and this goes for me as well. If there's anything that you get from this sermon that you're like, that was absolutely profound and such a wise statement, it probably came from Craig. If you hear something that you're like, that was just a little bit off, that was me or Byron or Troy next week. But we're going through this book, Winning the War in Your Mind, because when it comes to our day-to-day lives, we have a lot of stuff that goes on in our brains that is just not right. And we have to spend time focusing on that so that we can win that war. And today we're going to focus on Romans 12:2, which is probably one of my favorite scriptures. I know I get in trouble for saying that a lot, that I have a lot of scriptures and a lot of stories in the Bible that I really like, and I don't care. I have a lot of scriptures and stories in the Bible I really like. And Romans 12:2 is one of those. Paul says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul tells us here not to be conformed to the way the world thinks. He says right out, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Because when we look at the way the world thinks, when we look at the way the world acts, we can all acknowledge that the world is a messed up place. And it's really not wise to take advice on the world from, to take advice on how to live from people who aren't living very well. You'd never take marriage advice from someone who's been divorced multiple times. My sister-in-law, when Elizabeth was first born, my sister-in-law was giving us parenting advice. She's 10 years younger than Jennifer and has no kids, and she's giving us parenting advice, you know, from a worldly perspective. And I just looked at her and I'm like, until you have kids, don't tell me how to raise my kids. And it was funny, her brother would do the same thing until he had kids, and then he would start doing the same things that Jennifer and I were doing raising our kids. Don't take advice from people who have things messed up, who don't know what they're talking about. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I don't know how many of you have been hooked, but there's this new thing, it's called TikTok. And I had to put a time limit on my TikTok because I would find that I would be on there all day long. Like, you'd sit there and you're like, wow, where have the past 8 hours gone? I've been on my phone the entire time. So I had to put a time limit on. But there's this new trend that's going out where you have someone will be on there and they'll say, so you're this, and you insert something. So we're going to say you're this because it's my favorite one. You're this, a Christian, and you want to be this. You want to hear God's voice. Well, in order to get that, then you need to do this. And then you put something in there that they don't really want to do. So I want to be a millionaire. Well, then you need to get a job. And in order to do, you know, that, you got to get a job. So I want to be a Christian. I want to hear God's voice. Well, in order to do that, you got to read God's word. And they're like, no. We have this stuff happen to us all the time where we know where we are. We know where we want to be. But in order to get there, we have to do something to get there. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying we have to be transformed. We have to concentrate on renewing our minds. Craig was telling the story in the book that when he was younger, he had, when he was in high school, he had that beater car. You know, we can all remember back to our high school years, that very first car that you had to go out and pray every morning before you'd start it to make sure that you could get to school. And if you didn't really experience high school. If you didn't pull in and smoke coming from the back of your car and all the dents and everything, if you didn't have that car, you really didn't experience high school. And he had that car. And he wanted to make that car super cool. So he saved up a bunch of money and he went out and bought a Pioneer tape deck. And he spent all his money to buy this nice tape deck, and he couldn't afford to have somebody put it in, so he put it in the car himself. And he got up to go to school the next day, and he was ready. He had his REO Speedwagon cassette, and he stuck it in the tape deck and turned the stereo on, and nothing happened. So he drove to school with no sound. He had this dream of pulling into the parking lot and that all the girls were going to flock to his car because he was just going to be rocking, and nothing happened. And they had to do some stuff, and I went to school, did some stuff after school, and that night he was driving home, and all of a sudden the stereo started working, and he was like, yes, I really did know how to do this, I'm good, and he drives home, just rocking out the entire drive home, and he gets up for school the next day. He's all right, today's going to be the day, I'm going to pull in the parking lot, and everyone is going to come to my car, and he starts up his car and drives to school, no stereo. That night when he was driving home, the stereo all of a sudden started working again. Some of you have figured out what the problem was. He wired his stereo to the headlights. The stereo would only work when the headlights were on. He had, had some crossed wires in his car. He said from the day he figured out what the problem was until the day he sold the car, he drove with the lights on all the time so that he could listen to his stereo. You see, we have these crossed wires in our minds. We have these things that cause us to think thoughts that we really shouldn't be thinking. Last week, Byron talked about the strongholds that are on our minds. These crossed wires, they're the strongholds that we have to deal with. Now, I'm going to get a little technical here. But in our brains, we have these neurons. They send signals through our brains. And our brains are designed in a way that as neurons keep going in the same direction, your brain actually creates what's called a neural pathway. They create a path so that those neurons can travel from one spot to another faster. We can think of those as ruts. So when you think of a neural pathway, think of a rut. So if you have a fence in your yard and you have a dog and you let the dog out in the fence and the dog runs the fence all the time, after a while there's a rut that gets carved in your fence and you have no grass that has grown around the outside of your fence. If you travel out west and you go to Chimney Rock, all of the hundreds and thousands of covered wagons that traveled through there actually cut ruts through the rock that you can see. This is where they all traveled because you can see you can see the tracks through the rock. It cuts ruts through there. Our brains have the same thing. We have ruts in our brains because of these neural pathways that have been created. And that's great. If you're thinking good and positive thoughts, if you're thinking the things that you need to, those neural pathways are designed for a reason and they really make thinking easier. The problem is we have a lot of neural pathways that don't lead to where we want them to lead. They lead to these strongholds, these lies that we have in our brains. Growing up, I hated middle school. I absolutely hated middle school. I had a very rough time. I was picked on a lot in middle school. And I have developed a rut in my brain that I have convinced myself that people don't like me. People in middle school didn't like me. They made fun of me all the time. So I've convinced myself that people don't like me. Somebody doesn't show up to youth group, it's because they don't like me and I've done something wrong and offended them. If I'm standing in a group and I see two or three people standing off to them by themselves talking and one of them glances at me, they're talking about me because they don't like me. If I pull up to church and I see an elder's vehicle out there, it doesn't matter which elder it is. If I see an elder's vehicle out there and Byron's car is out there, I know that they're in Byron's office having a meeting talking about me and they're going to fire me. So Roger comes down the stairs earlier and says, hey, Matt, we elders have called a meeting for later today and you're not invited. Thanks, Roger. See, we have these ruts that we have convinced ourselves of these lies. And when we start to have a thought, those neurons just fire and they continue to go down that path. Harriet Tubman, she was famous. She helped slaves escape on the Underground Railroad. And she would take, every time she would go down into the South to collect slaves, to bring them home, to bring them into safety, she would take a loaded gun with her. Now, she didn't take this gun to protect her and the escaped slaves from the slave catchers. She took a loaded gun with her because she said every time it never failed, there was always someone who had this neural pathway cut into their brain, this lie, this rut in their brain that said that they were good for nothing but being a slave. And they would be afraid, and they're like, I'm just going to go back to being a slave. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to leave. And so she carried a loaded gun to convince them to stay with her and to go to freedom. These ruts are powerful. We have to remember that our mind is a battlefield, that battles are won and lost in our minds. And life moves in the direction of our strongest thought. When you think about yourself, when you think about what it is you think, when you think about yourself, that's the way you act. I told you that I'm convinced that people don't like me. So in order to not have to deal with that, I have become somewhat introverted. The lockdown was great for me. I got to stay at home and I didn't have to talk to people and I didn't have to worry about people not wanting to talk to me. Because I believe no one likes me, I've become an introvert. My life moves in the direction of my strongest thought. Byron read last week from 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Remember that strongholds are those crossed wires that we have in our brains. They're those neural pathways that take our thoughts to the places they shouldn't go. And Paul says we have to demolish those strongholds. We can't leave them. We can't just let them sit there. And we have this thing that we do in when we deal with behaviors. A lot of times we deal with the symptoms of a behavior instead of dealing with the cause of a behavior. You have a kid in school that's having problems paying attention in class and following the directions that the teacher gives. We deal with, why won't they sit down? They won't sit down. We just need them to sit down. I need them to pay attention. And we deal with the symptoms. When sometimes if you get to know the kid and you find out the cause of why they can't pay attention in class, maybe they can't pay attention in class because they've got things going on at home that we don't know about. Their parents are arguing all the time. There's divorce. There's alcoholism. There's drugs. We don't know what it is. There's something causing them to misbehave, and all we focus on is the misbehavior. We have to go find the stronghold that's causing their problem, and we have to deal with that. And then they have no problem paying attention in class. We have to find those strongholds and demolish them. In our own brains, that means we have to train our minds on what we're doing. We have to spend time training our minds. Now, when we train our minds, it's just like training your body. You know, if you go to the gym, you do exercises, those exercises get easier and easier and easier as they go. But one of the things I've found as I've gotten older that I have to pay attention to not just me training my body, I have to pay attention to what I put into my body in the first place. I got to pay attention to the fuel that I'm putting in there because I can train like crazy and I'm still going to have health problems if I'm not paying attention to what I'm putting in the first place. So it's not just about what we do with it, it's also about what we put into it. And this is what Paul says in Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So he says here, if you want to train your brain, you have to think about the good things. If you don't want to think these negative thoughts that are going through your head, if you don't want to go to that stronghold, you've got to think about things that are true. You have to fix your thoughts on honorable. You have to fix your thoughts on what is right. You have to fix your thoughts on what is pure. You have to fix your thoughts on what is lovely, and you have to fix your thoughts on what is admirable. You have to pay attention to what you're putting in your brain in the first place. You have to fix your thoughts on these things. Now, I've tried this experiment with you guys before, but we're going to do it again. Right now, I want everyone in here to do not think about a pink elephant. So no matter what you're doing right now, please do not think about a pink elephant. So at this point right now, you are not thinking about a pink elephant. At right now, no one should be thinking about a pink elephant. How many of you are thinking about a pink elephant? If all we do is think about what not to think about, guess what you're thinking about? What you're not supposed to be thinking about in the first place. And we do that all the time. I don't want to go to this website. Don't go to this website. Don't look at that thing. Don't look at that woman. Don't look at this image. Don't look at that. Guess what you're thinking about? You're thinking about all those things and you end up doing it in the first place. We have to not think about what we shouldn't be thinking about. We have to think about what we want to think about. So I want to try this right now. Everyone in here, think about a blue baboon. So picture in your mind a baboon with, you know, the scary looking face and, you know, all the blue fur and everything running around in Africa, and you're all thinking about a blue baboon. How many people are thinking about a pink elephant? You're not, because you're thinking about a blue baboon. If all we do is think about what we're not supposed to think about, we're never thinking about what we are supposed to think about. I tell kids this, people tell me they don't want to read the Bible because there's too many don'ts in the Bible. But you realize that there's a lot more do's in the Bible than there are don'ts. And if you spend all your time doing the do's, you don't have time to do the don'ts. If you spend all of your time thinking about what is pure and honorable and admirable and lovely, if you spend all of your time thinking about those things, you don't have to worry about what you're not supposed to be thinking about because you don't have time to think about it. You don't have time to go those places. We have to fix our thoughts. This means we have to meditate. Now I know, living in the Bible Belt, when you say the word meditate, there's just that fear that comes up in us that says, no, we don't meditate. That's something maybe they do in California and other places. They meditate. We don't meditate. That is not what we do. Because we have a mistaken idea of what meditation is. Eastern philosophy, Eastern religions tell you that to meditate means to empty your mind. I don't know if you've ever tried. I can think about nothing if I'm not paying attention to thinking about nothing. If I'm just sitting watching TV, I can think about nothing. But if I think about thinking about nothing, I always think about something. If I'm trying to clear my mind, something always comes into my mind. I'm always thinking about something. What we have to do as Christians is we have to focus our thoughts. That's what meditation really is. If you've ever been putting together a puzzle and you're really focused on finding that one piece that's gonna fit in that spot, guess what you're doing? You're meditating on the puzzle. If you've ever been working on a car and you're trying to figure out what's the matter with it and you're focused on what's going on in your car, you are meditating on fixing your car. If you have some problem at work and you have all of your attention focused on that, you are meditating on that problem. Meditation is just focusing. We have to meditate. We have to focus on the truth. This is what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. It says, I meditate, I focus on your precepts and consider your ways. And in Psalm 143, it says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate, I focus on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Meditation for us means that we focus, and not just focus on anything, we have to be focusing on the truth. When we let our minds drift, they always drift to lies. I mean, think about that. When you just let your mind wander and go, does it ever go where you want your mind to go? Or does it always end up someplace you don't want it to be? I hope I'm not the only one that has that problem, but when I sit and just let my mind drift, I always end up thinking about things I don't want to be thinking about. We have to focus. We have to make sure our minds are constantly thinking about truth. Several years ago, they remade the movie The Karate Kid. And in that movie, Jackie Chan is training this kid. And And they're doing something, and he says, you need to focus. And the kid is like, I am focused. And then Jackie does something, and the kid is like hanging over a boat. And he says, your focus needs more focus. That's where I am in life so often, is my focus needs more focus. I need to be thinking about these things. I need to know how to focus and how to really work this. So today we're going to do something. We're going to create in our brains, we're going to work on creating new neural pathways. If we think a thought and it takes us where we don't need to go, we need to work on getting rid of that rut and creating a new neural pathway that takes, when we have that thought, it takes us where we need to go, not where we used to go. So there's really two steps to creating new neural pathways. The first one is that we need to figure out what strongholds are holding us back. We need to figure out where our wires are crossed in our heads. What is that thing in our brain, that lie that our brain keeps going to? Is your stronghold that you are never going to get out of debt? It doesn't matter what you do, you're always going to owe someone money. Is your stronghold that you can't overcome an addiction? That it's just who you are and you're always going to be at this place and there's just nothing you can do to overcome it? Are you always going to struggle with your health? You know, your family has always struggled with their health. You're just going to struggle with your health. It doesn't matter. You're never going to be healthy. Do you struggle with that you're never going to feel close to God? That you hear people talk about and have these conversations about how they feel close with God, and you're like, I've never experienced that, and I'm never going to experience that. I should just give up. There's no point. I'm never going to have this relationship with God. Am I never going to have a meaningful job? Am I just going to struggle and work and just do the same thing every day? And it's just, there's no meaning to it. I'm never going to have a good job. Or do you struggle with that you're never going to find love? That I'm never going to be in a loving relationship? So there's no point. These are these strongholds that we have to come in and we have to demolish these strongholds. We have to get rid of them. And what gets rid of those strongholds but truth? You defeat a lie by telling the truth. And we don't just focus on truth, we have to focus on scriptural truth. We have to go back to God's word and say, what does God's word say about what it is that's holding me back? We have to go back and say, this is God's word. This is the truth that I need to be believing in my life. I read this book that we're doing this sermon series on. I read it several months ago. And if you haven't read it or if you're in any way interested in it, I strongly suggest you get the book. It's a very easy read, and it is full of just some really good tools and techniques. It is a great book. And in the book, he actually gives you spots to write answers down. He asks questions and then gives you spots to write your answers down. And he was asking about strongholds. And, you know, I have a couple of, I've already mentioned one of my strongholds. I believe that no one really likes me. I also believe, I've seen myself in the mirror. I know what I look like. I just have this mental image that I'm not an attractive person, that people really don't, they don't find me handsome. They just really find me ugly. And I had to write that in this book. And then I had to write a truth to counteract that. And so I wrote, I'm God's masterpiece, and my wife finds me attractive. And I got done reading the book, and I gave the book to Jennifer to read, and she read the book, and she did the exercises. And I got the book out because I was preparing for this sermon, and I got the book out, and I was flipping through, and I read where I had written that. I read where I had written, I'm God's masterpiece, and my wife finds me attractive. And Jennifer had written right next to it, yes, I do, with multiple exclamation marks. She helped give me truth to counteract the stronghold that I have carried around for decades. We need to find truth, scriptural truth, to tear down these strongholds. Now, Craig has this idea, and I'm going to ask you to do this. When you get home today, when you're leaving, I got a text from somebody who watched the sermon online and then came and picked a couple of kids up and has taken them someplace. And she was asking them, because they sat in first service, and she asked them, what are the strongholds in your life? Like, she's leaving church with two teenage boys in her car. Like, what are the strongholds in your life? And they were admitting their strongholds to each other so they could pray for each other. Now, the next step, once you've figured out what your stronghold is, so go home, figure out what your stronghold is, talk to people about it. Then you need to figure out the truth that's going to counteract that. And this is what you need to do. You need to write it, then think it, then confess it or say it until you believe it. Now, I know some of you are looking at that saying, there's absolutely no way I'm not going to do that. That is just hokey and I'm not going to do it. Do you want to get rid of the strongholds in your mind? This is how you're going to defeat those strongholds. This is how you're going to get over it, with God's truth, and you have to let it come in and affect you. And this is not something you're going to be able to sit down tomorrow and say, here's my stronghold, here's my truth, I've beaten it. Yes. It takes 21 days of continually doing something to form a habit. It's going to take a while to defeat these strongholds. For 30 years, I have thought that I am worthless and no one likes me. I am not in 2 days going to be able to convince myself that, yes, everyone really does like me and it's okay. It takes time to defeat these. So you have to, for days, you have to write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. The next day, you have to write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. And then the next day, you have to write it, think it, confess it until you believe it. And if you continue to do this, it will start to develop a new neural pathway in your brain so that when you pull up in the parking lot and you see Roger's truck in the parking lot and you know that he's in Byron's office talking about something, I can pull into the parking lot and say, they must be discussing something with men's ministry. Instead of, I'm getting fired today. It takes time and it takes effort. These are some of the truths that Craig shares in his book. And somebody asked me first service for these truths from the book. And so later today or tomorrow, depending on when I remember, I'm going to copy these and I'm going to send them out in an email so that everybody can see these again. But these are the truths that Craig shares in his book. Are you struggling to know God's will? This is the truth. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek him, and daily he directs my steps. I know his voice, and he leads me to his perfect will. Are you struggling with a lack of confidence? The truth is, my confidence is in Christ and Christ alone, because his spirit lives within me. I can do everything he calls me to do. Are you fighting with lustful thoughts? I'm not a slave to lustful thoughts because God has purified my mind. I will honor him with my eyes and thoughts. My God is faithful. Even if I'm tempted, he will always give me a way out. Do you find comfort in food? I know that I do. When I'm stressed, I turn to God, not food. I come to Jesus because he is what I need. In him, I find strength and comfort. Do you battle worry? Because of Christ, I am not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because he cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart and ruling my mind. I've told you guys, my strongholds. I don't think people like me and I think that I'm worthless. And I had to go through and I had to spend time battling with that stronghold and figuring out what my truth from Scripture is. And I've had to write these down. And it's something I have to continually work on. I think I'm unworthy of friends. My truth is that Jesus loves me and others do as well. People genuinely like to be with me. I feel like I'm worthless. The truth is, I am made by God and he creates masterpieces. He created me and equipped me to do the work he has called me to do. This is tough stuff to go and to look at your life and say, what are the lies that I'm constantly being told? And then go find the truth that counteracts those lies. It's a lot of soul searching. It's a lot of going to God and say, God, I need your help. Give me wisdom. Where's the truth to counteract this lie that I've been told my entire life? But it is so worth it. It is so great to be able to walk in and see two people talking and not think that they're talking about me, but to think there's obviously something going on. Maybe there's something I need to be praying about for them. Maybe that kid has a relationship with that adult and they're able to go talk to them about what's going on in their lives. That means I've done my job well and I've put that adult in a position to minister to this kid. Not, oh my gosh, they're over there talking about me and they're going to start a coup against me. We have to create these new neural pathways, and it takes work. But if we remember that we're God's masterpiece and that he wants us to renew our minds, it is so worth it. Pray with me, please. Dear God, we want to come to you right now and thank you. Thank you for being a God that loves us and has shared his truth with us. That we know that we can come to you and we can bring our insecurities, our strongholds, our crossed wires, the lies that we've been told our entire lives. We can come to you and say, God, this is where my brain goes. This is the thoughts that come to me. I need your truth. And that you have already given us your truth. I pray that you be with all of us as we leave, that we can go dig through your word to find the truth, to counteract the lies that we've been told. That you be with us all to give us the strength to fight through this, to demolish these strongholds in our minds. That we can be focused on your truth to do the work that you have called us to do. And we just come to you today in awe that you love us. Knowing who we are, knowing the thoughts that we think, that you love us. I just thank you for that, Lord. Pray that you be with us as we leave this place today. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.